إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 12th session, reading from the final two chapters of the classical work of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, Al-Aqidah al-Wasitiyah. And as we mentioned previously, and in these final two chapters, as Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, described them, he said that these matters contained in these chapters are the mukammilat, those things which complete and perfect the aqidah. So indeed it is of the greatest importance that if a person wants to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a good condition, then the foundation must be upon the correct aqidah, and then it must be completed and perfected with actions, yani noble character and good deeds. Before we look at the topic for tonight, we want to quickly review some of the points from last week, questionnaire study guide number 11. Keeping in mind, brothers and sisters, that yani the time change for the class between Maghrib and Isha gives us about 40 minutes before the Adhan. So probably after the Adhan we'll take a few minutes before we pray Isha to try to complete our topic. So please yani be patient. If I rush a little bit, it's because of the time restraint. The first question, memorize the 10th statement of the author, that is Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, which relates to the rights of parents, relatives, neighbors, etc. Naam, Waleed. Yeah, anybody want to complete? He said, وَيَعْمُرُونَ بِي بِرُّ وَالِدَيْنِ وَسِلَّةِ الْأَرْحَامِ وَ يَا مُحَمَّدْ حُسْنِ الْجِوَارِ وَبِرُّ الْوَالِدَيْنِ وَسِلَّةِ الْأَرْحَامِ وَحُسْنِ الْجِوَارِ. نعم، وَحُسْنِ الْجِوَارِ. After that, anything? Anybody? وَالْإِحْسَانِ إِلَى الْيَتَامَ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ وَالرِّفْقِ بِالْمَمْلُوكِ. Yani tonight, inshallah, last week we began with this statement and we took the first couple of parts, and we want to finish as much as we can from what remains in this statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, related to yani the treatment of our parents and our relatives and our neighbors and other people, yani that we may not know from anywhere. Other people, orphans for example, or poor people, and yani those, the wayfarers or whoever, yani even the slaves or servants. Yani we want to look at yani the importance of kind treatment and gentleness and kindness to other people as being a completion and a perfection of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on top of the foundation of our aqeedah. Huh? On top of the foundation of our aqeedah. Makarim al-akhlaq ومحاسن الأعمال is of the utmost importance, noble character and good deeds. So we're going to look quickly at some of the issues that we talked about last week. Second question, Liz. Yani the seven groups of people singled out here by the author for good treatment in this statement. Seven groups of people. First, clearly, parents. Naam. Second,
kinship,
relatives,
neighbors,
we're going to talk about tonight,
orphans,
the poor,
the wayfarer,
and and the slaves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have commanded us with kindness and gentleness and good treatment of other people. And this is of the utmost importance. Question number 3. Memorize the ayat in Surah An-Nisa 4, ayat 36, which points to the importance of the rights of parents. Importance of the rights of parents. Naam. Naam. وبالوالدين إحسانا. نعم. يعني Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to worship Him and not associate anything with Him and to have يعني kind treatment, be dutiful, respectful, generous and charitable with parents. نعم. And this shows, as the Shaykh mentioned and we talked about it last week, the importance of the rights of parents after the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the right of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Question number 4, discuss the Shaykh's explanation of how the rights of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are included in the above ayat. How is the right of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam included in the above ayat? Naam, Muhammad.
Have to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the Sunnah of the Prophet.
Naam, that the right of Allah to be worshipped, and it cannot be fulfilled except in accordance with fulfilling the right of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is to love Him and to follow Him. To love Him and to follow Him. Otherwise, how can Allah be worshipped except in accordance with the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So whoever worship Allah in accordance with the Sharia and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then they have fulfilled his right, and the right of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to be loved and to be obeyed and to be followed. Question number 5, discuss briefly why the mother has more right to a person's good companionship than anyone else, including the father. Why? Naam. Naam, Abdul Karim.
Because she bare the child,
carried him with difficulty. Or her? Naam. And what else? Okay, the pregnancy, carrying the baby for 9 months, the difficulty. What else? Huh? Weaning for 2 years? Huh? What? She had mercy upon the baby. First, the carrying of the baby. Second, the delivery of the baby. And this is a tremendous experience, if anybody knows anything about this. And then, the weaning of the child, right? And the mercy that she has for this child, more than, generally speaking, more than a father, no doubt. So for this reason, she has more right to good companionship than anyone else, including the father. Question number 6, clarify the ruling concerning being dutiful to parents. And what is the ruling concerning being dutiful to parents in a dalil from the Sunnah showing its preference over even jihad in the way of Allah? And what is the ruling concerning being dutiful to parents? Now, before the hadith, what's the ruling, the legal ruling concerning being dutiful to parents? Yani, is it obligatory? Is it mustahab? Is it what? Now, it's fard ayn bil ijma ala kulli wahid min al-nas. Fard ayn, obligatory on every individual by ijma, by consensus of the Muslim scholars. Fard ayn. And we don't have time to talk about it again, but fard ayn, that means that there's no escape from it. You have to be kind, respectful, subservient to your parents, charitable, generous, gentle with your parents. And what is the hadith, Ya Abu Talib? Now, which deed is, he asked, yani Abdul ibn Mas'ud asked the Prophet, which deed is most beloved to Allah? And the Prophet said, As-salat ala waqtiha, yani performing the prayer in its time, or in the beginning of its time. And then he said, and then what? Birr walidain. And then what? And then al-jihad fi sabilillah. After birr walidain. Now, this hadith is reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim. Question number 7, define the word al-birr as it relates to parents, mentioning its two aspects, the two sides of the birr for parents, and explaining the details of the first of them. Yani al-birr, naam, Abdullah.
It means generally it's good treatment, and that you cause good to reach your parents and you prevent harm from reaching them.
Naam, good treatment in general, kindness and so on, causing good to reach them and holding back harm from them. Yeah, and these are the two sides, yani bringing good to them and preventing harm from them, not harming them in any way whatsoever. And the first of them, good coming to them, means what? Is by means of what?
Obedience.
Huh?
Obedience.
By wealth by your wealth, by spending on them. Service, serving them. Naam. And thirdly, he said, making them happy, yani coming to them with a cheerful face, yani good manners, good speech, and whatever makes them comfortable. Whatever makes them comfortable. Parents, naam. Question number 8, discuss the difference between the rights of parents, the walidain, and the rights of other relatives. What's the difference between the rights of parents and the rights of other relatives? Naam, Muhammad.
The relatives, you just have to keep ties.
The relatives are entitled to what? Silatul arham, yani keeping ties with them. Naam. Not cutting the ties with them. As far as the parents, they are entitled to bir, yani, and this bir is a'la, yani is higher, is greater than yani just keeping ties. Yani this bir is greater than that, and it includes yani an abundance of khair and ihsan. Yani not just a little, but an abundance. Kathratu al khair wal ihsan ilayhim. Naam. Whereas yani keeping ties just merely means don't cut them off. Question number 9, why must we refer to the customs, the urf of the people to determine what is considered to be keeping ties? Why must we return to the urf? Now, Walid.
Because each society is, what they consider keeping the ties is different.
Okay, in each society might be different what they consider keeping ties, but that's true. But before that, why are we even looking at the customs of the people in the first place? Why don't we just go to the Sharia, to the Sunnah, to the Quran? Naam. Because the silatul arham hasn't been specified in the Sharia. And the rule is what? That whatever hasn't been specified in the Sharia, in that case it goes back to the custom of the people, which may differ from one nation to another, from one time to another, from one place to another, and so on, depending on the circumstances of the people and the time period and history and the place and the nation that you may be amongst. It might be different, so we have to look at the customs of the people to determine this. And for this reason, the Shaykh said, and whatever the people in that particular time, in that place, consider keeping ties, and that's keeping ties, and whatever they consider as being qati'a, cutting off, then that is what it is. Discuss, finally, question number 10, discuss the Shaykh's 2 examples of keeping ties under 2 different circumstances. He mentioned 2 different circumstances. Anybody remember? Naam, nobody else in the back? Yeah. Talib, naam. 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 If the people are poor and you rich and your relatives are poor, then keeping ties with them means spending on them to the best of your ability, spending on them, giving them of your wealth. In a different situation, he mentioned somebody else. Other situation he mentioned, what if the people are, everybody is well to do, people have money, then what?
And serve them.
Huh?
Give them service.
Give them service. Okay. Naam.
Keeping ties with them and seeing them in the morning or in the evening and ask them about themselves, the children, and the property.
Now, he said, in that case, keeping ties with them might be simply just visiting them in the morning or in the evening. Not morning and evening, he said. In the book, maybe it said morning and evening. But in the Arabic, he said, visiting them just in the morning or in the evening. That may be considered as keeping ties because they're not in need of money. And then he said, in our day and time, yani perfectly keeping ties requires that a person, yani know about the condition of their relatives, their families, their children, their problems, yani that they inquire about them and know what their condition is. This is a summary of some of the points that we covered last week, and like I said, pardon me if we go a little quickly because we have a short amount of time between Maghrib and Isha. So these days, yani, we're going to yani be pressed for time. Tonight we're going to talk about, and I don't know what page is it on, help me, Wali.
That's on page 509.
Page 509.
Bottom of 508.
Bottom of 508. Yani dealing with Husnul Jiwar, yani being, having, yani being good neighbors, being good to our neighbors, huh?
Page 28
on the Arabic. In Arabic, page 28, huh? 28? 31. 31, yeah, 31. Now, Tayyib. So, here, Shaykh Al-Islam Taymiyyah said, and the Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah, they enjoin upon the people, they command the people to be kind to parents, yani to keep ties with their relatives, and he said, وَحُسْنُ Husni al-jiwar, yani the way that you deal or relate to your neighbors, the relationship that you have with them should be as a good neighbor, as a good neighbor. Here the Shaykh, he says, the meaning of Husn al-Jiwah here, it means that they, the Ahl al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah, command the people, yani to be good neighbors with their jiran, yani to be good to their neighbors. And the jiran here, it means your neighbor, yani jar, and the plural jiran. Before I go further a little bit, I want to just stop and make a comment from Sheikh Salih Fawzan, hafidhullah. He said here, حسن الجوار, it means الإحسان إلى من يسكن بجوارك. Yani being good to the one who lives, who resides بجوارك. Yani near, next to you. Near to you. ببذل المعروف وكف الأذى. By doing being good to them and holding back harm from them. Yani this what he means by what? حسن الجوار. Yani offering good to them, being good to them, and holding back any harm from them. Not harming your neighbors. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah says, وَالْجِرَانْ هُمْ الْأَقَارِبْ فِي الْمَنْزِلِ. Who are your neighbors? Yani those who are near to your house, who live near to you. Yani your next door neighbors, or close to you, yani the closer, they have more right. He said, وَأَدْنَاهُمْ أَوْلَاهُمْ بِالْإِحْسَانِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Yani those who are closer to you, the nearest of neighbors, then they have more right, and they are more deserving of your kindness and of al-ikram, yani generosity and honoring them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Shaykh mentions the ayat, yani from the middle of the ayat, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ. And he didn't mention the rest of the ayat. Here we will just look at this part here. And the beginning of this ayah is what we mentioned last week, where Allah commands us to worship Him alone and not make any partners with Him. And then, yani al-ihsan, kind treatment, dutifulness to parents, and yani the al-qurba, yani those who possess relations, yani blood relations, family relatives, wal-yatama, the orphans, wal-masakeen, the poor and needy, and the neighbor who is near and the neighbor who is far. Yani, the neighbor who's near, the neighbor who's far. Yani, it may mean the one who lives near to you or further from you. Or some of the scholars of tafsir said it means the, yani, your relative, who is the near relative. Yani, the near one means your relative, who's near to you, yani, in relations. And the far neighbor means the one who is not a relative. So there are two meanings. Most of the scholars of tafsir either mention both of them or either one of them. Yani, that al-jar zil-qurba means the neighbor that lives near to you, or the neighbor that's a relative, a near relative. And then, yani, al-jar, al-junub, it means the neighbor that lives near to you, or the neighbor that is not a relative. Yani, that's not a near relative. And these are two meanings that most of the scholars of tafsir mention. After mentioning this ayat, the Shaykh says, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us, He has advised us to be kind and to be good to al-jar, al-qareeb, the near or close neighbor, wal-jar al-ba'id, the far or distant neighbor. And again, near and far means they live near to you, or they live far from you, or they are a near relative, or they're not a relative. These are the two meanings. Yarhamukallah. The Shaykh says, وَقَالَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُكْرِمْ جَارَهُ. To the end of the hadith, the Shaykh just mentioned this part, which is relevant to what we are talking about here. Whoever believes in Allah in the last day, then he must honor his neighbor. Fal yukrim. Yani, here, the lamb here in fal yukrim is what? What kind of lamb? Huh? Fal yukrim.
Lamb
al-amr. Lamb al-amr. Lamb al-amr normally takes kasra unless, what? Yani it's preceded by fa or wa or thumma, then it takes sukoon. Fal yukrim. Yani a command to, yani be generous and kind and honor your neighbor. Whoever believes in Allah in the last day, then you must honor your neighbor. And at the end of this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْ يَقُولْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. And this is very important, not related to our topic, but whoever believes in Allah in the last day, say that which is good, or remain silent. Watch your tongue. May Allah save us from our tongues.
Amen.
This hadith is reported in Al-Bukhari. Then the Shaykh mentions another hadith. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا تبخت مرقة فا فأكثر ماءها. Without men, it came in Bukhari. Without men, I'm reading it the way it came in Bukhari. إذا تبخت مرقة فأكثر ماءها وتعاهد جيرانك. يعني if you prepare some soup or broth, then increase or add plenty of water to it and share some, give some to your neighbor. يعني expand it a little bit so you can share with your neighbor. Reported by Imam Muslim. The third hadith he mentions, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَزَالَ جِبْرِيلُ يُوصِينِي بِالْجَارِ حَتَّى ذَنَنْتُ أَنَّهُ سَيُوَرِّثُهُ. And this hadith also reported by Al-Bukhari from Abdul ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Jibril continued to advise me, to command me, to enjoin upon me, yani goodness to neighbors, until I thought that he's going to make them inheritors, yani that they will be yani entitled to inherit from me. That's the status that he was giving to the neighbor. Jibril was in reminding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of the rights of neighbors to such an extent he thought maybe they have a right to inheritance. So where do we stand yani in reference to our neighbors and yani what we are hearing from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And then the Shaykh mentions one more hadith, wallahi la yu'min. He said, I swear by Allah, he does not believe. Wallahi la yu'min, wallahi la yu'min. They said, qila wa man ya rasulullah, yani who is it that doesn't believe? You are swearing by Allah, isn't it? Who? الَّذِي لَا يَأْمَنُ جَارُهُ بَوَائِقَهُ. يعني he said, it is the one who his neighbor doesn't feel safe or is not safe from his evil or his harm or his wrong behavior. يعني he doesn't believe if his neighbor doesn't feel safe from him, from his evil, safe from his evil. This person, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, is not a believer. This hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari, and in the narration of Imam Muslim, in the narration of this hadith from Abu Shuraih radiyallahu anhu in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يدخل الجنة من لا يأمن جاره بوائقه. يعني the person whose neighbor doesn't feel safe from his harm will not enter the Jannah. Not into the Jannah. And there's some discussion concerning this hadith in terms of its meanings, but يعني, for another time. The Shaykh says, إلى غير ذلك من النصوص الدالة على عناية بالجاء والإحسان إليه وإكرامه. يعني, and there are other يعني, proofs and evidences, that textual proofs that point to the care that should be given to neighbors and the kind treatment that they should receive and how we should honor them. Many, many other evidences. Then the Shaykh begins to explain the type of neighbors. Yani that this instruction is for a certain neighbor who is a Muslim, or a neighbor who is what? Yani even a neighbor who is a kafir. The Shaykh says, وَالْجَارِ إِنْ كَانَ مُسْلِمًا قَرِيبًا كَانَ لَهُ ثَلَاثُ حُقُوقٍ. Yani if a neighbor is a Muslim and also a relative, then they have three rights. Yani then they have three rights. That is the right of Islam over you because they are Muslim, the right of qaraba because they are your near relative, and the right of being a neighbor. That's three rights. Three times they have a right over you. When kana qariban jaran. But if he is a relative and a neighbor, meaning not a Muslim, falahu haqqan. Then he has two rights, the right of being a relative and the right that he has as being your neighbor. وَإِنْ كَانَ مُسْلِمًا غَيْرَ قَرِيبٌ وَهُوَ جَارٌ. And if he is a Muslim, but he's not a relative, just your Muslim neighbor, then he also has two rights. That is the right of Islam and the right of being a neighbor. وَإِنْ كَانَ جَارًا كَافِرًا بَعِيدًا. But if he is a neighbor who is a kafir, and he is ba'id, and he's not a relative, not qareeb, and he's just a neighbor, he's not a Muslim, he's not a relative, فَلَهُ حَقٌ وَاحِدٌ. He still has one right, and that is the right of being a neighbor. Yani even the neighbor who's a kafir has rights. And of course, that's difficult for people living in the kafir country, right? Most of your neighbors are probably kafirs. Wallahu musta'an. But this is Islam. It's not what we want, it's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated for us, whether we like it or not. better that we like it, because whoever is pleased with what Allah has legislated, then this is part of Iman. Yani ar-rida billahi rabban, to be pleased with Allah as our Rabb, yani the one who legislates for us. So the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they are commanding the people to be good neighbors, mutlaqan, absolutely, ayyan kan al-ja', whatever the ja' is, Muslim, relative, whatever, as long as he's a neighbor, be good to him. وَمَنْ كَانَ أَقْرَبْ فَهُوَ أَوْلَى, and whoever is nearer to you, yani nearer in terms of their house is closer to yours, or nearer in terms of their relations, family relations, then this person has more right. Unfortunately, some of the people today do more evil to their neighbor than they do to others. They are more evil to their neighbors than they are to other people. So you find this person transgressing, violating his neighbor's rights by taking his property and disturbing him. Like some of our neighbors disturb us. They bounce on the floor like the ceiling is going to come through. Allahu musta'an. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Let it not be a Muslim disturbing their neighbor. Let it not be a Muslim disturbing their neighbor. And the Shaykh says, وَقَدْ ذَكَرَ الْفُقَهَا رَحِمُهُمُ اللَّهِ فِي آخِرِ بَابِ الصُّلْحِ. And the scholars of fiqh, they, may Allah have mercy upon them, they have mentioned in the end of the chapter entitled Sulh, yani peace treaty or reconciliation, yani in the end of this chapter they have mentioned something or a little bit of the ahkam of jiwar, of neighbors. So go back to this. And this sulh, yani it means making peace or reconciliation between people, whether it is between the Muslims and the people who are at war with them, or whether it is between the people of justice and those who transgress, yani from amongst the Muslims against the government, or whether it is between people who have yani disputes over wealth or other than that, or whether it's between a husband and wife, yani sulh, making peace between them. At the end of this chapter, the Shaykh said, the scholars of fiqh usually mention something of the rules and regulations related to being a neighbor. After this, he said, well, ihsan, yani after these three, yani the parents and the relatives and the neighbors, he mentioned another three. Yani the first three, we have some kind of permanent relationship with them, and these three, maybe we don't know them from anywhere. Well, ihsan ila al-yatama, maybe you don't know him from anywhere, or her from anywhere, orphan. Well, masakin, that you don't know from anywhere. Or ibn al-sabil, you don't know from anywhere. These are people just randomly that you come in contact with, maybe. And ihsan, they're also entitled to good treatment and kindness and gentleness. The Shaykh says, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, and likewise, the Ahl al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah, they command the people to be kind, to give kind treatment to هؤلاء الأصناف الثلاثة, these three groups of people, the orphans, the poor, and the wayfarers. The first of them, اليتامى, يعني he says, يتامى, this is the plural of يتيم, and the يتيم هو الذي مات أبوه قبل بلوغه, يعني the orphan is the one whose father has died before he reached the age of puberty. And this is unlike what we understand in the Western societies. Yani orphan is a child whose parents are dead, who has lost their parents, yani both of them, through death, or in some even said maybe one of them. But here in Islam the difference is, it's not required to lose two parents, and it's not even considered if it's a loss of their mother. But what is considered here is the loss of the father before one reaches the age of puberty. This is what is considered a yatim. Sheikh Salih Fawzan says, al-yatama lugatan al-munfarid. Yani al-yatama or yatim, it means linguistically the one that is alone, al-munfarid. And shara'an it means man mata abahu qabla bulughihi, yani the one his father died before he reached the age of puberty. And Sheikh Salih Fawzan, hafidhullah, says, wal ihsan ilayhim huwa bi ri'ayati ahwalihim wa amwalihim wa shafaqa ilayhim. Yani ihsan to the orphan, it is through what? Giving attention to their conditions, their circumstances, what is their situation. And also paying attention to their wealth and their property, caring for it properly. And a shafaqa ilayhim, and being compassionate and kind, yani gentle, merciful to these orphans. This is what was meant by al ihsan to the orphans. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen says, وَقَدْ أَمْرَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِالْإِحْسَانِ إِلَى الْيَتَامَ, and Allah Himself, He has commanded us to be good, to give kind treatment to the orphans. And likewise, the Prophet ﷺ has encouraged us in a number of hadith. And the Shaykh leaves it like that. And we'll mention just one hadith. Hadith from Sahih al-Bukhari. Very important hadith. Yani the hadith of Sahal ibn Sa'ad radiallahu anhu. He said, yani the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أنا وكفيل اليتيم في الجنة هكذا. أنا وكفيل اليتيم في الجنة هكذا. And he pointed with his two fingers. Yani the index finger and the middle finger. Separating them just a little bit. As it came in this narration, he said that I and the guardian, the one who protects, cares for, supports, provides for an orphan, then I and that person will be in Jannah, close like this, in the Jannah. وَأَشَارَ بِالسَّبَابَ وَالْوُسْطَى. And he pointed with his index finger and the middle finger. وَفَرَّجَ بَيْنُهُمَا شَيْئًا. And he separated them a little bit. And some of the scholars, they said, he separated them a little bit to show what? That even though they're going to be near in paradise, but nobody will be equal to the level and the status of the prophets. But they will be close to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In another narration of this hadith, also in Bukhari, أنا وكفيل اليتيم في الجنة هكذا وقال بإصبعيه السباب والوسطى وقال. And I noticed in the book they translated this as he said, but قال here, يعني in Arabic قال means فعل also, and the proof of it is in the other narration, says أشارة. Ashara means, qala here means, he indicated, he pointed with his two fingers. The Shaykh says, what is the reason why the orphans are entitled to all of this special treatment and care and consideration? The reason for this is, أن اليتيم قد انكسر قلبه بفقد أبيه. Yani his heart was broken. انكسر. Yani انكسر, not كسر, انكسر. Means, nobody broke it, it was broken. The heart was broken by what? By the loss of his father. فَهُوَ فِي حَاجَةٍ إِلَى الْعِنَايَةِ وَالرِّفْقِ. And therefore, because of this condition of the loss of his father while he's a small child, he is in need of care, attention and support and gentleness, of rifq, kindness, gentleness. نعم. And kind treatment to the orphans, يَكُونُ بِحَسْبَ الْحَالِ. يعني, it is in accordance with their condition. يعني, according to their circumstances, whatever they are in need of. Yani being kind to them means fulfilling their needs, whatever it is that they need. And here I just want to mention a commentary on this particular hadith in the Sharh Sahih al-Bukhari by Ibn Battal. He says, قال المؤلف حق على كل مؤمن يسمع هذا الحديث أن يرغب في عمل به ليكون في الجنة رفيقا للنبي عليه السلام ولجماعة النبيين والمرسلين صلوات الله عليهم أجمعين ولا منزلة عند الله في الآخرة أفضل من مرافقة الأنبياء. يعني it is حق على كل مؤمن. It is incumbent upon every believer who hears this hadith that he be encouraged to act upon it. يعني it shouldn't be a hadith that we hear and it just goes away. يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said what? That I and the one who takes care of the orphan will be in Jannah like this. It is incumbent upon the mu'min that when they heard this hadith, they should feel encouraged, motivated to what? To act upon it. So that that one will be in Jannah as a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the, yani the jama'ah, the group of the prophets and messengers salawatullah alayhim ajma'in. And there's no station with Allah in the next life that is better than accompanying the prophets. And also Al-Imam Ibn Hibban in his Sahih, he narrated this hadith under the title, this is a benefit, he narrated under the title Imam Ibn Hibban rahimahullah, he said ذِكْرُ إِجَاب دُخُولَ الْجَنَّةِ لِلْمُتَكَفِّلِ الْأَيْتَامِ إِذَا عَدَلَ فِي أُمُورِهِمْ وَتَجَنَّبَ الْحَيْفِ. يعني the mention, this hadith he entitled the title, the mention of the obligation of a person entering Jannah if they are the supporter, the guarantor, the one who takes care of the orphan as long as they are just in handling their affairs and avoid injustice to them. The obligation of entering Jannah. Naam. The Shaykh says, والمساكين وهم الفقراء هو هنا شامل للمساكين والفقير للمسكين والفقير. يعني المساكين here means those who are poor. But here in its use, we know that يعني the miskin and the faqir. Sometimes the scholars, especially in the tafsirs of the Quran and in the scholars of fiqh, they also distinguish between the miskin and the faqir, and which one of them is more needed than the other. That's not our discussion now. Sheikh said it's including both of them. Both of them. Including both of them. Sheikh Salih Fawzan, Hafidhu Allah, he says, يعني the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah command the, يعني that a person give kind treatment to the masakin. He said, the masakin is the plural of miskin. وهو المحتاج الذي أسكنته الحاجة والفقر. يعني the miskin is the person who is needy to such an extent that الحاجة والفقر, يعني his need and his poverty restricted him, يعني restricted his movement, prevented him from being able to do things. That's how يعني it affected him. والإحسان إليهم يكون بالتصدق عليهم والرفق بهم. And being kind to them, being يعني الإحسان to them, it means giving charity to them. And it also means being gentle with them. Huh? Not just abusing people because you're giving them some money. And then you talk bad to them and look down on them. Rather, being charitable to them and also being kind and gentle and easy with them. Naam. And the Shaykh al-Uthaymeen says, وَالْإِحْسَانِ إِلَيْهِمْ مِمَّا عَمَرَ بِهِ الشَّرْعِ فِي آيَاتْ مُتَعَدِّدَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. And being kind to the poor people and the needy people is from that which we have been commanded with in the legislation, the Sharia, in many number of ayats in the Quran. And from amongst those ayats is the ayat that we just read earlier from Surah An-Nisa, وَعَبُدُ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ. And Allah is ordering us to be good to the poor. And likewise in Surah At-Tawbah, a very important ayat of yani of zakat, though it came under the word of sadaqah. And this is a proof that sadaqah and zakat have the same meaning, even though generally they use differently. In Surah At-Tawbah, 9th chapter, 60th ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتِ. And sadaqat here means zakat, the obligatory charity. إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتِ لِلْفُقَرَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْعَامِلِينَ عَلَيْهَا. To the end of the ayat, that indeed these obligatory charities are for the fuqara and the masakin, yani the poor and the needy and those who are responsible for them, and so on to the end of the ayat. Very important ayat in Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 60. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen says, وَجَعَلَ لَهُمْ حُقُوقًا خَاصَ فِي الْفَيْءِ وَغَيْرِهِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them rights, special rights, in reference to the spoils of war, or al-fay, yani more technically means that which is taken without actually fighting, as opposed to ghanima, yani what is taken after fighting. They have rights over this and other than this. For who? The poor and the needy. And the reason for this, yani wajib ihsan ilayhim anna al-faqr askanahum wa ada'afahum wa qasara qulubahum. It is because, yani why should we be charitable and kind to these people, to the poor people? It is because their poverty has restricted them and weakened them and broken their hearts. فَكَانَ مِنْ مَحَاسِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ أَنْ نُحْسِنْ إِلَيْهِمْ جَبَرًا لِمَا حَصَلَ لَهُمْ مِنَ النَّقْصِ وَالْإِنْكِسَارِ. So it is from the mahasin of Islam, yani it's from the beautiful aspects of Islam that may not be practiced by many Muslims, but it's from Islam, from the good aspects of Islam that show the superiority of Islam, yani that we be kind to the poor and the needy, to make up for the deficiencies that occurred to these people due to their poverty and their condition of being needy. And ihsan to the masakin yakunu bihasab al-hal. Yani it's also being kind to them is in accordance with their condition. What are they in need of? So the Shaykh said, if they were in need of food, then ihsan to them means feeding them. And if they are in need of clothing, then ihsan to them means clothing them. And if they were in need of attention, respect, yani recognition, yani because they have low self-esteem or like this, then it means giving them attention. So that if they came into a gathering, then you welcome them. And you bring them, put them forward, yani as though they have a special place. And this is in order to raise their morale, to raise their morale, to make them feel better about their self. So due to yani the deficiency that they are suffering from, الذي قدره الله عز وجل عليه بحكمته أمرنا عز وجل أن نحسن إليهم. يعني the Shaykh, he says something here very important. Don't pass by this without paying attention. It is due to this condition, this defect, deficiency that they are suffering from due to their neediness and their poverty, which Allah has decreed for them based on His perfect wisdom. Allah decreed them to be in this condition. But because He decreed that for them by His wisdom, and He knows why, what is the purpose and the good end that is intended by it. It's not meant for punishment, for people just, yani you're just born poor, you didn't do anything. But it's by Allah's wisdom that He decreed it. But because He has decreed that for them, He has commanded us, yani, to treat them well. It's close to the time for the adhan, but yani we'll finish inshallah after the adhan, whatever is left. Ibn al-Sabil, yani the wayfarer. This huwa, the Shaykh, he says, huwa al-musafir. وهو هنا المسافر الذي انقطع به السفر أو لم ينقطع بخلاف الزكاة. يعني the wayfarer is the traveler, and here in this يعني context here, the way it's being used here, it means the traveler who is stranded or the traveler who's not stranded, both of them. يعني whoever is a traveler, that they, this is what is intended here by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, being kind to the يعني wayfarer, means even if they're stranded or they're not stranded, as opposed to what is meant by Ibn Sabil in reference to zakat. In reference to zakat, who's yani have a right to get zakat, is the wayfarer who's stranded, not the one who's not stranded. And a person who's traveling in the land, but they have means for themselves, then they're not entitled to zakat. In zakat, it means that the traveler, Ibn Sabil, means the one who is stranded, who's cut off, who doesn't have any means. As Sheikh Salih Fawzan says, he said it means being kind to the one who is traveling in the land, al-musafir, al-munqati' bihi, the one who's cut off, yani the one who has exhausted his spendings, doesn't have any money left, or he has lost his money, or it has been stolen, yani this is who the Shaykh Salih Fawzan said this is intended, or he said waqila huwa ad-dayf, or any one who is a guest, who is a traveler, and you take them in as a guest, be kind to them. Yani what I said, yani finally before the adhan, just so that it be clear, Sheikh Salih Fawzan said yani that the meaning of Ibn Sabil, it means the person who's stranded, yani who has yani used up, exhausted their money, or it has been lost or stolen, so they don't have any means. But then he said waqila ad-dayf, that it may also mean a person who is not stranded, who's a traveler, and you take them as a guest, then also be kind to them. And this is what Sheikh Uthaymeen said, that it means both, and the one who's stranded and the one who is not stranded. And the reason for this, yani why they should be treated well, is because the traveler is ghareeb, yani is strange, is a stranger, yani is in a place where they don't, maybe don't know anybody. Wal ghareeb mustawhash, yani the person who is a stranger, doesn't know anybody, they're going to be lonely, they're going to be feeling like lonely, uncomfortable, they don't know anybody, by themselves. So if you keep company with this person, yani treat them well, treat them kindly, honor them and treat them well, then this is what we have been commanded with in the Sharia. Yani the person who is a stranger, to take them in and treat them nice, take them like a companion, treat them like somebody you know, not like yani somebody you want to keep distance from. This is what we have been commanded with. And there are a lot of stories yani to be told concerning this, real stories that we have heard or that we ourselves have experienced in different countries. I myself can tell you, yani, in Saudi Arabia, in Sudan, in Egypt, in the Emirates, in Qatar, in every country that I have been in, we have found people that take you in, even though I was never stranded, walhamdulillah. But the people, subhanallah, some people they understood, or maybe it's from their culture, yani, it is indeed in some cultures that they are just charitable, right, and hospitable. But some people, because they understand Islam, so they treat the one who is a traveler well. Now, this is from what Allah has commanded us with. So if a person who is a traveler, yani, comes to you as a guest, then part of honoring that person is that you treat them well. Yani, that you host them well. You treat them good. Now, we don't have time. والله مستعان. يعني how some Muslims ما شاء الله. نعم. The Sheikh says, some of the scholars said, indeed it is not obligatory to honor them, yani taking them as a guest, take them into your home as a guest, except in the villages, yani because the people are out in the yani nowhere, right? So in the village you have to take them in, but not in the cities. Some scholars said this. Sheikh said no, but we say it is obligatory in the villages and in the cities. The person who's a traveler, it's obligatory to honor them, to take them, to treat them well. Illa ayakunu hanak sabab, except that there's some reason that prevents you, like dayq al bayt mathalan. Yani a person's house is very small. There's just no room to bring anybody else in there. So then they excuse. Or any other reason like this that prevents a person from taking someone as a guest. Sheikh says, but in any condition, yani if a person comes to you, then you should respond to their request, yani to host them in a good way, even if you are not able to host them. And then finally, we just want to mention the last point here, and that is al-rifq bil mamluk, yani being gentle with those who are owned, the slaves. Yani Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they command that themselves and others to be gentle with the slaves. Sheikh Saleh Fawzan said that we are commanded to be gentle with the slaves. Yani al-mamluk, it means al-raqiq, yani the person who's in slavery. And included in this are the animals that are owned. And being gentle, it means the opposite of being stern and harsh and rough. It means yani being easy yani with the people. Sheikh al-Uthaymeen says this yani al-mamluk, it includes al-adami wal-bahim, yani the humans who are possessed slaves and the animals that are also possessed. As far as the human beings that are owned, that are in slavery, yani al-rifq, being gentle with them means feeding them when you ate, and clothing them when you clothe yourself, and not assigning them a task that they are not able to fulfill. And these three matters, feeding them when you eat and clothing them when you clothe, and not making yani giving them a task that they can't fulfill, the Shaykh has taken this from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's a lengthy hadith in reference to Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, when he said something to someone about their mother, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you still have some aspects of jahiliyyah. He said to him, ikhwanukum khawalukum, yani your brothers are your servants. Or yani it's mubtada and khabar reversed, literally means your servants are really your brothers. But he said brothers first to emphasize that's how important it is that you recognize them. Your slaves are your brothers. جَعَلَهُمُ اللَّهُ تَحْتَ أَيْدِيكُمْ, but Allah has placed them under your hands. فَمَنْ كَانَ أَخُوهُ تَحْتَ يَدِهِ, so whoever has his brother under his hand, under his control, فَلْيُطَعِمْهُ مِمَّا يَأْكُلُ, the Prophet ﷺ said. So feed him yani from what you eat. وَيُلْبِسْهُ مِمَّا يَلْبَسُ, and clothe him from what you clothe yourself with. وَلَا تُكَلِّفُوهُمْ مَا يَغْلِبُوهُمْ, and don't give them a task, assign them a task that will overcome them, that they can't do. فَإِن كَلَّفْتُمُوهُمْ فَعِينُوهُمْ, but if you assign them a task that they can't do, then you must help them. Then you must help them. The Shaykh says, yani this hadith yani is reported by Al-Bukhari. Shaykh says, الرفق المملوك يعني من البهائم, yani being gentle with those which are possessed from amongst animals, the animals that you own, no matter if they're animals that you ride, or animals that you milk, or animals that you just possess, yani being gentle with them differs in accordance with what that animal is in need of. Yani in the winter time, if yani you must put them in a place that is warm if they're not able to bear the cold. And in the summertime, you must put them in the places that are cool if they're not able to bear the heat. And you should bring them their food and their drink if they're not able on their own to feed themselves by grazing. Yani animals have rights. Naam. وَإِذَا كَانَتْ, and if they are from those that yani are used for carrying things, then don't yani don't task them with carrying that which they don't have the ability to carry. And we close here. The Shaykh says, وَهَذَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى كَمَالَ الشَّرَعِ وَأَنَّهُ لَمْ يَنْسَ حَتَّى الْبَهَائِمِ. And this, يعني find these last, you know, points that the Shaykh made here, indicates, and even what was before it, indicates the perfection of the divine law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it didn't even forget animals, that they also have the right to be treated gently. And it also indicates shumuliyati tariqati ahli sunnah wal jama'ah, yani the comprehensiveness of the way of ahli sunnah wal jama'ah, that it's not limited to whatever some people think, yani that Islam is only this aspect that they like. Rather, it's comprehensive, and it covers the aqeedah, it covers the akhlaq, it covers the amal, the ibadat, the adab, the dawah. All of this is part of Islam, and it's incumbent upon us, yani, to enter into Islam completely with all of it, the aqeedah, the ibadah, the character, the manners, all of it. Wallahu musta'an. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. We have 1 minute. Is there anything that we said that's not clear? Did I leave out something or say something that's not clear? جزاك الله خير. خلاص. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.